And welcome, everybody, to episode 695 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold. Gentlemen, how are you?
Better now that the week's mostly over.
Yeah, that's for sure. How about you, Break? Did we lose Break already? Probably. I bet you we lost Break already. Breakman, are you there? Are you having problems, Breakman? We just barely start the show and we're already having issues. I love it.
It's awesome. Speaking of Uranus, that's the name of a store that my sister and her family went to on their way to their house in Texas because they finally moved like last week.
Yeah. All right, apparently Breakman can hear us, but we can't hear him. So, Break, if you can hear us, I'm going to remove you from the call and get you right back. So don't fret. We'll get you right on back, sir. Here we go. Let's try to get Break back here. Break back mountain. Come on, man. What's wrong with this stupid thing? Let's add... Ah, Breakman! There you go.
when's the one-up deal over?
Huh?
The one-up deal for the Marvel versus any, or those two different cabinets.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like the actual stand-up cabinets?
Yeah. The one arcade one-up stuff.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. All right, Break, do you hear us now?
I hear you guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Okay. How was your week, Break?
I guess it was okay. It happened, and I was there.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's think happier thoughts, and let's get straight into the news here. If my soundbite ever decides to work.
Awesome.
RPG News.
All right, Eric, let's start off with the first story.
First story is from RPG site, and it's about a retro-styled RPG called Ulterium Shift. And Guerrilla, it was shown at the Guerrilla Collective 3.0 Digital Showcase. I almost forgot that was happening. I never watched it. I should probably check it out. Maybe there's some stuff I missed. But, it's a debut project from Dratzy Games, shows some clear Chrono Trigger inspirations, and features story arcs via the game's multiple protagonists. There's an original demo that's still available via Steam and itch.io pages. But game will be published by Gravity Game Arise. I've never heard of them. And SNES inspired JRPG inspired game. There's some plot data here, but it does look pretty.
It does. I was gonna say it looks really good. I mean, I want this to come to one of the consoles.
They're kind of sort of emulating the Octopath Traveler, but they can't quite do it because they don't have the engine.
Right, right. Well, it still looks good, though, man. I mean, this is a good effort. I like this. And graphically, it looks really pretty. Old school goodness, like a 16-bit Super Nintendo game for sure. It's looking good. Scotima says, put it on Channel 3 so we can play some video games. There you go. I think they have another revision coming out soon. I think the exclusivity ends. Yep, there you go. All right, anything else on that, Eric? We got a lot of news to get to.
No.
All right. Break. You have your links up?
This is kind of interesting. Coming to us live from RPG site. Zodia is a turn-based roguelike card battler coming to Steam in 2023. And I say it's interesting because unlike most card battlers, I'll sell it right here. In Zodia, you pick one of three different characters to progress through a series of battles, gaining new skills and abilities along the way. What sets Zodia apart from other roguelike deck builders is that skills are tied to poker hands from a traditional set of playing cards. The rarer the hand, like a straight flush, the stronger the skill. In battle, you're dealt a hand of playing cards, and you need to use your hands carefully as you decide which of your skills you want to use, depending on which poker card those skills require. So that's interesting, I think.
I don't know how to play
poker. Oh my god, this is... Look at this. When you said card battle, Breakman, I was like, I'm out. I was going to say, well, that does it for me. You know, I'm not...
Well, and then it does it for me, though, because I'm not a poker player.
Oh god, I'm a poker player for sure. And it's a simple concept, you know, like straight flush, three of a kind, straights, you know, stuff like that. They don't, I mean,
so you don't have to learn a whole new thing to play this,
right? Right.
This for is most people, except Eric, who doesn't somehow know how to play. How did you go your whole life out learning how to play poker?
Not having friends.
Well, that pretty much explains it. There,
I played poker.
Yeah. I think my mom taught me how to play poker.
Wow.
Just saying.
Yeah. And I think you can only use three cards at a time, which makes it even simpler. You know, you don't have to use, like, five, you know. Mm. And they take out the king, queen, joker aspect of it. You know what I'm saying? So, oh, no, they do have five.
I was like, going to say, maybe those show up later in the game, maybe as you get more involved in it or something.
Well, see, there you go. That would even be more interesting. So, wow, you got me intrigued, Breakman. Anything else on this?
No, I'm intrigued too.
Yeah, and it's sort of got, it looks like it's got like a, if you guys ever played Odin Sphere, kind of a round world kind of deal to it, but it looks turn-based, so shit, I'm down, you know?
Yeah, I don't want any more like the Yu-Gi-Oh thing where I've got to completely learn a whole new language, essentially, to play the game.
Yeah, no, it looks, dude, this doesn't look too bad. I mean, if I'm going to play a card game, this might be it, so, you know.
And I keep telling you that Steam Quest or game doesn't have card rules. It just uses cards as your attacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of like what Halo Wars does, essentially.
Yeah.
Just like your cards are the characters you play.
Yeah. All right. Next story comes to us from RPGSite.net. Black Tower Basement and Nord Current Labs announce pixel art narrative RPG Greedventory. So nice little play on words there. It's a Ukraine-based developer. Wow. Publisher, let's see. So Black Tower Basement. This title is a point-and-slash adventure that features soul-like elements and RPG system. So, I don't know. It looks, it's definitely pixel arty, and it's a good first effort. I don't know. This is...
Is there PvP in this? Because, God, a game called Greedventory, like, you have to be stealing from other people. Please tell me there's PvP.
Let's see. It's a gorgeous pixel art narrative RPG experience where the only thing standing between you and an embarrassingly swift death is your mouse. Strike, parry, and cast powerful spells on your enemies. Loot increasingly magnificent treasures and equipment. Get lost in beautiful, brutal world. Let's see. What else? Nope, doesn't look like there's any PvP element to it so far.
Now I want a game where instead of killing your opponent, your object is to steal from your opponent. You know,
God, you're so mean.
Go rob them and stuff like that. That'd be pretty fucking cool. You got to defend your home from somebody trying to steal like your
rob all the police TV or something. Fuck the police.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
definitely don't call the police.
Yeah, don't call the police at all, ever. That's apparent. All right, Eric, what do we got next?
We've got a pixel art roguelike game called Paper Animal RPG.
Hmm.
And it was shown at the Wholesome Direct. Publisher Top Hat Studios and developer Cuddling Raccoon Studio. Inspired by Paper Mario, Mario Luigi, and Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. And
Freak is Exiled.
Like I said, it's procedurally generated maps, so that's how the roguelike nature comes in.
Why is Freak in trouble?
How dare you, Breakman, you accomplice, you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's very cute, but I hope it's actually fun.
Does look cute, looks very Mario RPG inspired, Paper Mario inspired, so looking good. So, anything else on that, Eric?
Not really.
Alright, Breakman, you're up next.
Somehow I opened the same article twice here. Coming to us live from RPG Site, Koei Tecmo, or Tui Kekmo, I believe is their real name, and Team Ninja reveal Wolong Fallen Dynasty, coming early 2023. Okay.
Yeah, we talked about this game before. But they didn't. They were very tight-lipped on who the developer was.
Let me see the official trailer. I don't see the developer right here.
Team Ninja. It's Team Ninja.
Are they developing? Are they developing? It's just says Koei Tecmo and Team Ninja reveal, but.
Look at the right.
Developing it or just
look at the right there, publisher.
Okay, okay, okay. I gotta go dumb farther into the story. Okay, fine.
Good. Team Ninja, buddy. Okay. It looks fucking epic, to be honest.
But it makes sense considering this is Koei Tecmo and they wanted to do a Three Kingdoms Souls-like because they're done with Neo now.
It looks really, really cool.
I was gonna say, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, it just... visually very impressive. I mean,
so this is why Stranger of Paradise looks so crappy, because all their budget went into this.
Like Stranger of, we could give it some more money, but
bad Wolong, you know.
They did fix it somewhat, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks really good.
It does look good, man. I'm intrigued, big time. All right, anything else on this break?
Let me see. It follows a dramatic, action-packed story of a nameless militia soldier fighting for survival in a dark fantasy version of the later Han Dynasty, where demons plague the Three Kingdoms. Players fight off deadly creatures and enemy soldiers using swordplay based on the Chinese martial arts, attempting to overcome the odds by awakening the true power within them. So there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Chinese better be the default language option for this game instead of Japanese.
Yeah. I think I agree with that, man. It's more appropriate. But it looks good visually, man. I'm totally down. Whatever language. I mean, you know, looks good.
And if they do English again, they're probably going to make British voice actors.
Yeah, probably. It's always the Brits. All right, anything else? Break.
It was weird. I was watching that kind of documentary series. I forget which one, what it's called. Or the Food That Made America. But there was one episode where there was like, supposed to be two British guys.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't speak with a British accent at all. They just didn't pretend. They're just like, yeah, we're American.
There you go.
It would threw me off the whole time because, like, wait, this isn't. They're supposed to be British, right?
Maybe they're like trying to troll everybody with American accents. You know?
Maybe they were born in Britain, but they moved to America soon after.
Yeah, possibly.
Well, no, I mean, this was. The creators of... No, it was the Toys That Made America, because it was creators of Matchbox Cars.
Ah, gotcha.
So they were, I mean, stayed in Britain his entire life, the guy did, and his family and stuff like that. So the actor playing him just is like, I'm not even going to pretend to be British.
Oh.
You guys interested in Diablo 4?
Not until Blizzard cleans up their act.
That's true. Well,
or it's on Game Pass, so I don't have to pay for it.
That's true too. Yeah, that's a good point.
Later, Freak Five.
I might jump in.
Later, Freak Five. Just got to my father-in-law.
Or buy it used. Well, like finding used prices for those games has been proven difficult for me.
Yeah, Diablo 4 releases on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox X and S, Xbox One, and PC. In 2023, so there you go. That
2023
was
is looking good.
It really is, man. There's a lot. Starfield. I mean, I really need to get an Xbox by 2023. That's what it boils down to. There's too much shit coming out in 2023 for the Xbox that I, you know, and I don't want to play it on my you know. My old.
I'm hoping
Xbox.
To find like an off the truck deal for a PlayStation. Maybe you'll find one for an Xbox. That'd be good.
Yeah, I think, dude.
The back of the truck.
I mean, next year's going to be killer for games, man. Whether it's PlayStation 5, Xbox, Switch, doesn't matter. And there are rumors for Switch Pro coming out next year too. So, I mean, that would be pretty badass, man. I mean,
like after they underwhelmed and underdelivered on the last one.
Yeah,
I
mean, exactly.
I bought a screen, but that was it.
Yeah. I bought it because it had a better screen and had double the space on it.
Yeah. Well,
but it's not really
and
true.
Better
not
battery life, and you know, I figured maybe I could sell my old Switch at some point or something.
Yeah. It's more of like an improvement over the old system rather than like a true upgrade, you know?
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah. yeah, for sure.
I say more of an upgrade than an improvement, I should say.
I really wish that they would just come out with the current gen console and fucking skip the mid console bullshit, you know? I mean, they're all going to do it. There's going to be a PS5 Plus and the Xbox X Plus. And,
well, you know, that usually happens because of technology increasing. They're able to get smaller and smaller pieces and cheaper parts and stuff, and that's why that happens. That's because of technology.
Yeah, I know. It just pisses me off, man. Mid-cycle, they come out with the badass.
It's not intentional. It's the
PS Pro was the PS Pro was like basically a worthless upgrade though, because like, ooh, you could play games in 4K, but you still have to play in 30 frames.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it looks pretty in picture.
Yeah, I know. If you go frame by frame, looks beautiful, you know.
And we are going frame by frame, so enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. Pause.
The biggest bottleneck for the PS4 Pro is that it has still had a crappy GPU.
Yeah.
CPU wasn't that great either.
I mean, the PlayStation 5 is awesome, to be honest with you. I just wish it had a few more games to go with the awesomeness, you know? I mean, that's been the problem. And then the lack of consoles for everybody else.
I was
going to
say the supply issues, but yeah. Again, that's not in their not really in their hands.
No, I know. It's the same.
It is somewhat improving now.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, the rich people have been doing everything they can to do everything to make sure we can spend our money on them again.
Right, absolutely. They're working hard and frantically to get every penny that they can from us, you know.
Yep.
And also increasing prices too. So, you know, I mean, and that includes food too. So, it's becoming hard.
Who wants to pay $10 for some cheese?
I am kind of annoyed. Like, I saw a news report this week where I'm like, where the fuck have you been? What's it called? Like, something inflation. Where it's basically the size of the products that we've been buying have been shrinking and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Oreo cookies are smaller, for instance. Girl Scout cookies are smaller. The boxes are smaller, but the prices are higher.
Yeah,
for instance.
Yeah.
Like, you get less Chips Ahoy. If you buy a box of Chips Ahoy now, you get a lot less in the box than you did like 10 years ago or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think it's been going on for a while, so I'd say like 25 years ago. But like this. But the shrinking of our products and the prices going up, and this news person was acting like this is, I've never heard of this before. Like,
it's so
fuck
stupid.
Have you been?
Escotima says,
living real life like the rest of us.
Yeah,
I bought the cinnamon roll flavored frosted mini wheats, and that box is tiny.
Yeah. Do you guys watch anime subtitled, go to my ask? I watch both. I mean,
that's not even enough to get through a week.
I watch both, go to my, to answer your question. What about you, Eric?
Actually, that brings up kind of a gripe, now that you mention it. I was watching this anime on HBO Max.
Yeah.
And I think it was 13 episodes. It was in English until the 10th episode, and then suddenly, like, there was no English option.
Probably because
Japanese.
It's still ongoing. What are you watching?
I forget what it was called. Tower of God or something like that?
Okay, so that's actually a Crunchyroll original. I don't know what happened there.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it does have Crunchyroll at the beginning of the logo for Crunchyroll.
I do know if you watched Crunchyroll shows through HBO Max's app, you aren't getting everything they have on offer.
Skotima, what you watching anime-wise, man? Because I'm an old-school anime guy. I don't watch a lot of the new shit, but if there's something you have to recommend, then I'll watch it. But I like the old stuff like Cowboy Bebop and Boogie Pop Phantom and, you know,
speaking
shit
of which,
like that.
Trigun's getting a new anime, but it's all CG now.
Oh. Ooh. Oh, well. Okay.
I love Trigun.
And hopefully they follow the plot of the manga, because the anime's pretty much its own thing.
Yeah. All right, Eric, next story, please.
Next story is Ravenlock, fairy tale action RPG Ravenloft Wanderers to 2023 for the Xbox Series XS and Xbox One PC.
Why are we getting so many stories that are 2023 related? I know we're halfway through 2022.
That was pretty much Xbox whole showcase.
I know.
Like this game that's coming out in the next 12 months or so.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, Jesus, man, come on.
They finally showed Silksong, and not only did they reveal it's going to be a multi-plat game, but it's coming to Game Pass day one, but they didn't have it a release date. And I think the only reason they don't have a release date is because Nintendo still has a year exclusivity deal with Nintendo. So yeah. Nintendo, the next Nintendo Direct is probably going to have the date for that version.
I like the developer and publisher of this game. Coco Cucumber is the name. So there you go.
It says, the developer's final game in its voxel trilogy that first started with Riverbond and Echo Generation, which I've never heard of before. But apparently, they're probably PC only, because that's why I probably never heard of them. But these games are not necessarily connected narratively, but they're meant to encompass Coco Cucumber's projects, exhibiting their signature 3D pixel art style.
Looks really good. I mean, really,
it's
really
basically
good.
Zelda, but with voxels.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it looks fantastic, actually. Scoba says, I'm thinking, I think I'm going to get the Steam handheld. Eric's going to get one. So it's not a bad purchase, man. I mean, being able to play all those.
I've heard a few people saying they want to get one. I would like to see
I'm going
to
try to get one this year. I mean, I already had to sacrifice half of the money I was going to put towards it to pay off my rent and stuff. I'm gonna see about trying to put most of that back into my other account until I'm ready to pay for it. But
yeah, welcome back, Freak Five. So, all right, anything else on this, Eric?
Let's see. Key features: story about a young female protagonist on a heartfelt journey, discover immersive fantasy realm set in a fallen kingdom, real-time combat, vanquish bewitching beasts and bosses, exciting arena-based fights, level up, hunt for new quests.
That's really good.
Expected items to level up skills, and that's all it really says.
Yeah. Freak5 says the Uranus General Store had a I poop today. Are you kidding me, Freak5?
Well, they sell fudge there, and they even use that as, like, a slogan. Wow. Like, I got my fudge from Uranus.
Wait, hold on. And he didn't buy it?
Right, exactly. Well, they probably didn't have a size. He needs, like, you know, a 10X or 11X, so that's probably why he didn't buy it. Just saying.
All right. I'm staying out of this conversation.
Yeah.
Back to the game.
Yes, break next
story. Before we move on to the next game, I just want to comment on Diablo 4 for a bit, but I thought it was funny when they said, new class, Necromancer, and more like, this is the old class that was from Diablo 2, but we're bringing it back for some reason.
Yeah. Alright, break. Next story, please.
Coming to us live from RPG site, horror tactical RPG Demon School revealed at PC Gaming Show. Demon School. Publisher Easebeard, I guess. Games,
yeah, Easebeard.
Okay, Easebeard and Games and developer Necrosoft Games revealed Demon School, which is going to be coming for the PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series XS, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, Steam, and as you guessed it, it won't be out until 2023. Demon School draws stated inspiration from vintage Italian horror as well as horror manga artists.
Wait, that's Easebird. That's right.
Easebird. It's Bird. Easebird.
Easebird?
Easebird. B-R-Y-D.
Beard. Yeah.
Easebird.
Easebird. That's what I said. Was Easebird, right?
Easebird.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't even care anymore. I'm moving on from this. From an RPG's perspective, this style is also reminiscent of the first few Persona titles, especially in the battle sequences. Game features a school schedule as well as 15 characters that can form relationships over the course of the game. I like that. Various choices made will affect the outcome and end of the game. There will also be a clubhouse that can be decorated and customized with various furniture sets. Cool.
Well, the characters look like they came from a early 90s anime, so why not?
God damn, yeah. They got like a deep story on this. Wow. I'm not reading it.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a lot there. It's way too much. But I would totally watch somebody play this game. It's a strategy game, but I would.
I hope
watch.
It plays better than the original Persona did.
Yeah, for sure. All right, next story comes to us from RPGsite.net. Dark fantasy roguelike action RPG, The Unliving. Wow, why can't they just do a traditional turn? But anyways, okay. The Unliving unleashes undead armies in Steam Early Access starting October 31st.
Oh, no, this is this year. Wow.
Yes, this year. So we finally got one this year. I'm looking at the I didn't get a chance to look at the previews before the trailers, but wow, looking cool, man. If you're a necromancer, like you can like summon a bunch of zombies to do your dirty work, and it looks pretty fucking cool, man. I dig it. And you know what's cool about it? Like when you summon your zombies, they like surround you. Like they're your pals, like in battle and stuff. That it looks really good.
In that case, though, you really have to break out into the dance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if they're all going to group around you, like all of a sudden, like they just stop and then they go into the pose and then the song starts.
Right. You know how we talk about games that are too dark? This is an example of a dark themed game that is very, very vibrant. I don't know. Like it's looking good. Looking good.
Good. Good. There's no excuse for that. Like I'm sick of not being able to see what's going on because we want it to be atmospheric. Well, it's too atmospheric because I can't fucking see. So if you want me to be scared, it's not working because right. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Right. I know. If it's too dark, it's too scary for me. I don't want to play it. You know, it's like,
so dark you can't even see what you're supposed to be scared of.
I know exactly.
Exactly.
You know. There are games like that work, like those old school games, like where you're like, you remember those floppy disk games where you're like, it's like narrative driven, like a lot of text. Yeah. Where Darkness works like that with
they build up suspense in those games.
Yeah. But there's no longer a need for that. You know, you can get all that atmosphere and suspense from the story itself. You know, it's just whatever. All right, Eric, what do we got next?
This is for the Atlas fans. Persona 3 Portable, Persona 4 Golden, Persona 5 Royal are coming to Xbox and PlayStation Steam. I mean, 5
yes!
5 Royal is already on PS4, but it's coming to PS5 and the Xbox Series and Windows PC and Steam. So apparently no GOG at the moment or Epic Game Store, but maybe that'll change. But
I don't have enough time to play all the games I want to play.
But yeah, I hope the PS5 version is a free upgrade for those that have the PS4 version, because I'd hate to have to rebuy it.
Yeah, I started playing Persona 5 Royal, and wow. I mean,
and there's no 5 versions of 3 or 4 plans, so I'm guessing the reason is because they wouldn't benefit that much at that point, and it probably will just play through backwards compatibility.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't mind going back to play Persona 3 or 4, but I gotta get through 5 first.
I kind of miffed a little bit because it's Persona 3 Portable, and which means it's a direct port, which means it's not going to have the anime cutscenes for Persona 3 Fez.
Yeah, that's
Fez's
a shame.
Content, which that, I would have preferred a remake of 3 entirely that features like all the stuff from each of the versions.
Oh god, they don't want to go through the fucking headache they went through with Persona 3 again, Eric. I doubt we'll ever see a remake or a remaster of Persona 3. it's too controversial, man. People lost their fucking minds with Persona 3 and the whole.
But now I'm wondering, is like Persona 3 Portable's on the PS4. I wonder if this is just gonna be an upport of the various PlayStation 1 classic games and stuff that are now up a part of the PS Plus library. But apparently, if you those games are available for separate purchase, but if you purchased them previously, they're available for free. So they just need to kind of rebuy it again at $0.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Persona 5 is widely regarded as one of the greatest, if not the greatest.
I wouldn't be surprised if Persona 4 Portable ends up being, like, free for me because I already bought it, the digital version, a while ago.
Well, that's good.
I've never had a chance to play Persona 5, so...
Yeah,
my only problem is time. I just don't have enough time to play all these games.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to
make... A lot of people are upset that there's no Switch versions of these, though.
You're going to have to make time, make time for these games.
Unless it's part of the Direct. Like, maybe they'll do an announcement then, but it doesn't seem like they're doing the Switch stuff.
Yeah, I could see these games easily being able to be on the Switch, so I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, PSP portable version of one, that'd definitely work on the Switch.
Yeah, yeah.
The only one, maybe Persona 5 Royal, but the other you two could fit that. Just fine.
You could fit that on the Switch, no problem.
It's not just about fitting it, it's about running properly.
And I think it would be fine.
The Switch just isn't as powerful as...
The only thing that bothers me about this announcement is that Persona 3 Portal and Persona 5 Golden are will be digital onlys.
Mm.
But and Persona 5 Royal might get a physical release, but who knows?
Fine with me. I'm good with digital, man.
Is it going to be based on sales, or are they going to release these all at the same time?
They're doing 5 first, because it's the most current thing.
Okay.
It's probably the easiest to deal with at the moment.
Yeah. You need to make time to play P5.
And that is coming out October 21st.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you'll man, it's a good game, for sure, Break. So
no, like I said, I don't have enough time to play all the games I want because there's so many good games.
I know. I know, man. All right. Who did that story? Did you, Break?
No, Eric did. That means right. This one is mine, coming to us live from RPG Site. Octopath Traveler, Champions of the Continent, journeys to North America and Europe on July 27th. From Squinix, this is the mobile game that we didn't really ask for.
I know, right?
Why isn't this on a console instead?
Octopath Traveler Champions of the Continent, as the description was updated and revealed that the title will be playable starting from July 27th. Yeah, we just read that. Why is that like your funeral? Anyway, yeah. Octopath Traveler is follow-up to 2018's Octopath Traveler. Events that transpire in this one occur before the original game, when Champions of the Continent was initially unveiled in March in 2019. So that's like... Yeah, that was... Wait. Oh, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Who cares? I'm moving on. It was originally released in Japan on October 28, 2020. Throughout the title's lifespan, it has gradually added familiar faces from the Octopath Traveler, such as Primrose, Tressa, and Firion. There have been crossover collaboration events with the Bravely Default series and Nier Automata series. Automata. Adding several characters from these games into this... new Champions of the Continent.
Yeah, it looks cool, but man, fucking mobile, really?
Yeah. Whatever. Aside from altercations to the narrative structure, Champions of the Continent now allows players to bring 8 characters simultaneously. Half of them actively participate directly in battle, but can switch to a character they're paired to, which is kind of neat, but it's... I doubt this plays like the...
Like the actual Octopath, yeah.
Yeah.
Freak says, I bought the t-shirt that says there are a lot of freaks in Uranus. I'm sure there are a lot of freaks in Uranus, Freak 5.
You knew he was going to say that, right, Freak?
Of course.
I can't defend you on that one. You opened yourself up
right.
on that one.
Right. All right. The next story comes to us from RPGSite.net. NIS America brings Labyrinth of Galleria, the Moon Society, to the West in early 2023. Well, at least it's early 2023. That's okay, I guess. For the PS5, PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, and PC. So, another Nippon Ichi game. Nippon Ichi does pretty good work, so I'm interested in this. So it was there was a delay on it, so now we know when it's coming out. So there you go. I'm looking at the trailer now. Let's see if we see any actual gameplay. I don't know what the hell this game is, man. Can't really tell too much from it. But,
it's a dungeon crawler.
Ah, there you go. There's a little bit of gameplay. Okay, finally we get to it. Dungeon crawler. Dungeon crawlers are fun. I like games like this, so. It's sort of like, what's that Etrian Odyssey-esque?
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of. Yeah. That's cool. Alright. Well, there you go. All right, next story, Eric.
Next story is Sword and Fairy 7, or rather, Sword and Fairy Together Again, as it's being called for the console release, arrives on August 4th for PlayStation 5 and 4. Yeah. And the developer is Softstar Technology from Beijing, and publisher East Asia Soft is launching on the day I just said, and it's renamed Really Release of Sword and Fairy 7, which apparently, according to people I've heard, was a fun game. So this, we're in for a good time compared to the previous game.
Yeah.
But it's very pretty looking.
It does look good, but it looks a little stiff, in my opinion. Like, I'm watching a little bit of gameplay and going around, like, just the movement seems slightly stiff to me. I don't know.
I hope they can fix that before
release. Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. They got a little time, but I mean, it just looks a little, I don't know, kind of stiff to me. But really visually pleasing to the eye, for sure. Not as good as that first game that we talked about, but, you know, not everything has to be perfect. But it, you know what it is? It's not so much that it's stiff. It looks like you're gliding when you're walking. I don't know. It's really weird. But definitely visually pretty to the eyes. So not a lot of gameplay, but whatever. All right, break. What do we got next?
Coming to us live from RPG Site, Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade makes its way to Steam today. So there you go.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. There's some few other good in-game goodies. Since it's a remake Intergrade version, the Steam-bound release of this will contain both the base Final Fantasy VII Remake game and episode intermission chapter that featured Yuffie. A few other in-game goodies will come along with the game. The Cackstar weapon for episode intermission is included, along with the Midgar Bang. I'm not going to read all these.
It's
there's stuff.
Just
Final Fantasy named stuff.
I don't know if it's going to be good on PC, but it was good when I played this game on the PlayStation 5. Well,
apparently Epic Game Store version had problems when it launched, but it's been a while since then, so they probably fixed those.
Yeah, this is really, 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 really good. It's a great game, honestly. I was really impressed, and I'm not a big fan of Final Fantasy VII, but...
Now we wait another year before they all announce the Xbox version.
Yeah, probably. All right, speaking of Final Fantasy, next story comes to us from RPGsite.net. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is the second part of the remake, and it's out next winter. So, like, more than a year away, y'all. More than a year, so... Which I don't understand the delay, but whatever. It's coming, and...
This is supposed to be how many parts?
Three. It's going to be three.
Three parts, okay. Yeah. That's... okay. So when will we get the third part? Like, 2028?
And the reason for it being three parts is because that's probably the story they want to tell, which means it is... The name should tell you that that the game isn't actually a one-to-one remake of Final Fantasy VII. It is, in fact, a sequel to the original Final Fantasy VII because it acknowledges that game's existence, more or less.
Yeah.
As well as the other games within the chronology of Final Fantasy VII, such as Crisis Core.
Yeah. To answer your question, Breakman, it'll be out in 2052.
Just 52. Okay.
Yes.
So I wasn't even close.
No, not close at all. All right. Next story, Breakman.
Wait, what?
Oh, I'm sorry. Eric, next story.
Next story.
More Final Fantasy.
Speaking of Crisis Core, Crisis Core Reunion is coming out this year. And it's a remaster of. The original Crisis Core for PSP, which never got a digital release, so I'm thankful that they're bringing it back.
Is it good? Is Crisis?
It's fun. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Because
it plays a lot more like Kingdom Hearts, though.
No. Okay. I mean, looks. I mean, this remaster looks like Final Fantasy VII remake, so looks pretty cool. I don't know. I never played it originally, so this would be. I guess a time to play this, you know, now, so...
It's got, like, extra missions. You can take off, like, a fuck ton of them. And, it's also got this weird combat reel system that lets you get certain bonuses during battle.
Yeah. I mean, it looks good. It looks real pretty. You know, Final Fantasy VII-esque. I mean, you know, not much else to say. I mean, I don't even know the story of Crisis Core. I know it's in the same world, but
you play as Zack, and you play up the events that led to him dying outside of Midgar.
Ah, okay. Sword. Gotcha. Well, that's cool. So there you go. And of course, Sephiroth has to make an appearance, and you know, we got Dark Cloud. I mean, because he looks like Dark Cloud, huh, Zack? Sort of looks like Dark Cloud, but all right. So that's the news, y'all.
Oh, well, there is a cloud of darkness in Final Fantasy III, but that's a different thing.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we finally got through the news. Homie discounts, there's a plethora of them. I just picked up Cat's Quest for like $2 and Cat's Quest 2 for less than $5. They've got so many sales. Yakuza Like a Dragon was like $28.
A lot of people are worried the Switch version of this game is going to be a cloud-based version.
Oh, probably known them. So the ton of new sales. I sifted through them. I mean, speaking of Persona 5 Royal Ultimate Editions, like $20, which pisses me off because I bought it for like 27, like the day before, because I thought it was not going to be on sale after the last sale. What else? There's some other ones that I forgot, but anything on the Xbox that you know of, Break?
On sale? No, I'm not paying attention to anything on sale.
Alright, what about the eShop, Eric? Anything worth mentioning?
I haven't really looked at the eShop.
Alright. Anything on Dear Breakman this week, Breakman?
No. Oh, God. I've been too busy looking at Game Pass to look at the shop and Xbox, and there's no FN in Dear Breakman, so...
Alright, let's move on to...
Inquiring minds want to know.
See you next week. The connection isn't very good here later. Later, Freak. Thanks for stopping by. Really appreciate it. Okay. What you been playing, Break?
I've actually been playing a few things this week. Several things. More of Legend of Zelda. I went to the castle to complete my last two quests and was looking around Hyrule Castle more than I did the first time. It is such a great dungeon, too.
Is it?
Just, yeah. Everything about the game is amazing. Even the dungeons are great. Just so much fun. I completed the quests and found another shrine in the castle.
Ooh.
So I've got 117 shrines out of 120.
Oh, wow. So three away from finishing them all.
Yeah. And I might have to cheat because I have no idea where the other two are.
Yeah.
I know where one is, and this old bat won't let me touch the fucking ball.
You know, it's sad when the bats don't let you touch the balls, man. You know what I'm saying? So
it's true.
All right, what else you been playing, man?
That's a baseball joke for those who didn't understand. which would be everybody in our audience, since none of them watch baseball, just us. So playing that, and it's good. I can't praise that game enough.
Is it also in your top five all time, Break?
Easily. Yeah. Mortal Kombat 11. I played it all the way through the crypt. I unlocked everything.
Yay!
And still didn't have Baraka's fatality.
Oh God.
After that, I was about to quit. Mm-hmm. But I thought, okay, I'll give it one more shot. I'll go in the crypt and I'll reset all the everything and I'll try that again. And lo and behold, I did finally find Baraka's second.
Finally,
yeah. It was so fucking irritating because I completed the crypt. I've never done that in a Mortal Kombat game. Like, I've finished everything. Now what? Oh. Well, now the only thing left is, like, unlock, like, character clothing and stuff like that. Well, I've still got the other fatalities for the DLC characters. I think I have, like, 8 left.
Yeah.
Which is just interesting. Go.
Cool.
Let me see. So also, when I was a little mad at Mortal Kombat, and before I played it again, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna play something else because I'm just this is ridiculous. So I played the Pac-Man collection.
Oh, wow, cool.
it's kind of got a little neat, like, you build your own arcade theme in there.
Too bad they couldn't get the rights to Ms. Pac-Man.
I know.
Yeah, Ms. Pac-Man and Pac-Man Jr., I wish were on
there. And also, where's Pac-Man 2?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
And there's also a GameCube Pac-Man game that came out a while ago, and then there was, like,
that was terrible.
Which, apparently they're not very good, but, like, they could have included at least the GameCube game.
Yeah, that one wasn't very good.
But the GameCube also had the Versus, which was the best.
Now, again, it doesn't have Championship Edition 2 either.
Yeah. It's just, there's so many
apps. Or Versus Pac-Man.
Yeah, Mrs. Pac-Man being better than all of them, but...
Versus Pac-Man would have been great.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's Battle Royale, but it's not quite the same thing.
Yeah, it's not.
Battle Royale is fun, though. I wish I was playing against other people rather than the computer.
I've seen the arcade version of Battle Royale, but...
I've played it at Dave & Buster's, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah. Most of these games are really lackluster, I'll say.
Yeah.
It's kind of a reminder of, like, how, why...
No, don't play Pac in Time. If you want a bad time, play Pac in Time.
Oof. Yes.
You play as a roly-poly version of Pac-Man, and you bounce around everywhere.
Yeah.
Yuck. Alright.
And you have to get all the pellets, so that means... Like, if you fall down too far, it might be almost impossible for you to get back up to collect them.
Yeah, that happened to me, actually.
And that's why I gave up the game. It's like, fuck this, no.
Yeah, that happened to me, and I quit the game immediately, too, so I didn't get any points for that
one. And Pack Attack is a really shitty version of Tetris Attack or Puyo Puyo. So don't play it.
Yeah.
I don't even think I have that one unlocked yet. There's three or four I don't have unlocked, but at the same time, like, I don't... Like, if they want you to play Pac-Man 2, how many of that?
And the only reason I know about those two games' existence is because there were two unreleased Sega Genesis versions of that game that somehow ended up as a part of the Sega Channel.
All right.
So it was free on Game Pass. If you're going to play it on Game Pass, it's fun for, you know, if you like the original Pac-Man, but most of the other Pac-Mans on here are... Meh. There's a lot of crap on there.
Yeah.
There's some fun ones like Pac-Man 256, but you know, the fun's only momentary with that. I wouldn't buy this game because there's just too much crap on it.
Yeah,
Super Pac-Man, and then there's that Pac-and-Pal game. Like, that one is just I'm like, why? How did you go from Pac-Man to this?
Yeah.
Pac-and-Pal feels like the Donkey Kong Jr. math game. Just an ill-conceived concept that shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
That's a very apt comparison, Eric. That was pretty good, man. Alright, what else you been playing, Break?
And the one other thing, I've been playing the same thing Eric's actually been playing, and he's going to review it, and I guess I'll do it with him. I'll tag on to his review. But Game Pass also afforded me the ability to download one of the games I have been looking forward to, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge.
We'll talk about that in reviews. Eric, what you been playing, man?
Same, but also a little bit more of the Somnium Files. I completed that and got the platinum for it. Just do everything and you get that. Now, you have to do a couple extra things, like talk to certain NPCs a certain number of times to unlock an alternate ending, or just... Or to make sure you get all the right questions the first time.
I got a question. I got a question.
An interrogation or something like that.
I got a question for you guys regarding secret endings. How are you supposed to figure that shit out on your own? Like, all these stupid secret ending things. Like, you got to do this. Everything. And
I found it completely by accident. But if I hadn't, I had to look it up. And
yeah. See, that's what I'm saying.
Like, all I did was just kept talking to this receptionist at this one place, and then the ending happened.
Mm. All right, what else, Eric? Anything else?
Because, like, there's another achievement related to talking to another NPC until you get an achievement. It's not an ending, though, but I figured, hey, they keep giving me the option to talk to this person. There's probably something behind this.
Yeah. All right.
Back in the 80s, we had to either figure it out for ourselves or use, like, a game genie.
Yeah.
No, they're sweet. There are multiple endings to Super Mario Bros. 3. Yes! Thank you, game genie.
The game genie, man. That was fucking cool as fuck, man. You could go around just god moding everything.
Infinite P-Wings.
Hey. Yeah. Yep. Or, I'm not even.
The one I used the most was the like the Infinite Hammer Brothers.
Oh yeah, the Infinite P-Wings is like useless. You never see anything in the game. You know, you just go right through all the levels and drop on the star. You know.
Was there a Mushroom Kingdom around here somewhere?
I know. Wow, this sky is cool. It's like. All right. What else, Eric? Anything else?
I played a little bit more of the Castlevania Anniversary Fairy Tree Collection. I got through Castlevania, and then I started up 2, and I grinded for a bit, and that's where as far as I got.
Dun, dun, dun.
You were just saying, how do you figure things out in the day? I don't know how anybody was able to figure out Castlevania 2 back in the 80s.
I know.
The game has NPCs that lied to you.
Two words for you, Breakman. Nintendo power.
Also, due to lack of punctuation, like... It says go to the graveyard, duck, making you think there's a duck in the graveyard.
Wow. All right, anything else?
There's so many things frustrating about that game, but it was one of the first Nintendo games I played. I always have fondness for Simon's Quest.
Yeah, this game
is not a good game.
Also, fucking passwords.
Fucking passwords.
There's only one good purpose for passwords, and that is to skip ahead in the game. You don't want to have to restart a game.
Well, like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out had a pretty decent little password deal, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, they were long, and they had so many characters.
I know.
I mean, like, the Punch-Out character... The characters you had in there weren't as ridiculous as they were for something like River City Ransom, though.
Yeah, River City Ransom or Battle of Olympus.
Oh,
or,
God, yeah.
What were some of those other ones that had bad passwords?
Also, apparently the first couple of Dragon Quest games on the Famicom had really long passwords, too.
Yes. Yeah.
Weak.
Yep. All right. What else, Eric? Anything else?
You know, didn't Metroid actually have a password system?
Yes, it did. Yes, yeah, it did.
The NES version.
Yep.
Okay. Because they had to save it. It also had a password, too. Okay.
The Famicom Disk version used, obviously, saving, but they never did, like, a definitive re-release of the NES game that has passwords and hard saving.
Yeah. Mm. Eric, anything else that you've been playing?
So, I think on the extra that you got with Metroid Prime, but you can unlock, I think it did have saving, but the way it worked was that it just basically saved your password, and then it would load up like a save state.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Eric. Anything else?
I also played a bit of Ghostwire Tokyo.
All right.
See, when I told Frank about that deal for like $25, I didn't... Well, I was tired and I didn't pay enough attention. It was for the box only.
Oh my god!
So he paid $25 for a steelbook, but which is fine because I made lemonade out of that and I bought the actual game. And now I have an extra case to put my copy that I bought from Redbox of
Ghostwire.
Not Ghostwire. My brain isn't working now. Death Stranding.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, the Walking Simulator.
Yeah, I bought that game too. I want to play it. I like
games like
that.
I bought it off Redbox, and before they stopped selling games, and they don't give you the boxes of those, so it was nice to have a box for it.
Well, there you go, man.
But now I need to like print out a cover for it, so it's not the Ghostwire box.
Yeah.
Cover.
All right, what else we got? Oh, I played a little bit of Salt and Sanctuary, a little bit of Shibuya Scramble. I beat the first boss in Salt and Sanctuary, finally. I forgot how fucking hard that game is. And and to boot, I forgot how to fucking parry. So, that's what makes...
I hate that. When you go back to a game you haven't played in a while, you forget how to do a move.
Yeah. What do you do, Eric?
You double tap the block button.
Ah, that's what I was missing. Holy fuck!
I didn't parry that much in that game because.
When I was playing,
even though the parrying window is larger than it is in a Souls game, I didn't do it because a lot of the times, like, I just couldn't get the time.
Oh, parrying! I mean, I was a parrying master with the when I was playing as a fighter. I just got up to that fucking. tree boss thing, and I couldn't fucking get past that, so I'm going to try my best to get it past.
Because you can't parry that thing.
Yeah, you can't parry it.
By jumping.
Yeah, you have to jump and get all the different little bodies that are on that tree, and it's fucking tough, but as soon as I get past that mental hurdle, I think I'll beat that game. Yeah, but I was a parrying master in that game. I mean, once I learned the parry, fuck, that game became a lot easier, man. It was easy, but all right.
I mean, I could say just using a ranged weapon, but then you'd have to invest points into
that. Yeah, I'm not doing that, man. I'll just be a parrying master again. I'll get back in the flow once I get it down again, and then you know. All right, let's move on to reviews.
RP Grinders reviews.
All right, guys, let everybody know about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, and then I have a review after.
This is more Breakman's review than mine. I just wanted to share it with him.
All right, Breakman.
Oh, really? You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, this is essentially a sequel to the old Ninja Turtles arcade game, The Turtles in Time, which was a sequel to the Ninja Turtles arcade game, but this is a beat 'em up in every single way. It has a lot of things that you had in the original, original Turtles in Time. Like you can grab the foot soldiers and throw them against the screen type stuff. But this being an updated version, they've added a lot more moves and combos and stuff like that. And instead of 4-player, they've made it a 6-player game, and they've added Splinter and April, which is interesting, kind of cool.
Also Casey Jones, but you have to beat
that. Oh, right, right. Yeah, Casey. Yeah. You have to beat it once to get that. And I saw there's 7 endings, but I get the idea it's lame, like one screen difference endings. Yeah. I'm gonna, because I think with Mikey, I just got.
Yeah, that's like, the same thing Scott Pilgrim did, though, so I'm not surprised.
Okay, yeah, it's basically with Mikey. It was like, Mikey, he won today, now he gets to go back to partying.
Oh. I wonder if you get to see like all the innings for each of the characters if you did a full 6-player run.
I wish there was a music player in this game, because I was surprised to see Mega Ran was actually on the soundtrack. I forgot that was really cool. Mm. And I want the original Turtles theme, not this remixed version they've got.
Well, they kind of probably had to.
I think they did too, but I don't know. At the same time, like I was hoping, like if there'd be a music player and I could listen to the original, you know.
Mm.
And
for shits and giggles, they might as well throw the 2003 or Turtles theme as well as the 2012.
Go to YouTube for that shit, man.
why can't they throw those in there, Frank?
Licensing. That's why. Money.
Like Nickelodeon owns the rights to the Turtles.
One thing I wish the game would have had is of a time attack mode, but I guess
they might not own the leaderboards.
Might record your time, so maybe that's why they didn't do it. I don't know.
Maybe they don't. They don't own the publishing rights to the audio. Is what I'm saying. Because sometimes that happens.
But the song is essentially the same. Same lyrics and everything. It's just. It's sung a little bit differently.
Yeah, I couldn't hear what half they're saying most of the time.
On a side note, you know who I saw?
It was loud and they were kind of like,
You know, yeah, you know. On a side note, you know who I saw playing this game live on Twitch? Huh? Blast from the Past, Tiger Claw, man.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Tiger Claw was playing it.
Yeah. So this game's a lot of fun, but it's really short and it's really easy.
Yeah, like about 2 hours.
Yeah.
Which is long for a game like this, but still short.
I don't know if it's even long for a game like this, because Streets of Rage 4 and like Castle Crashers, games like that, are a lot longer.
But the original Turtles beat 'em ups were less than an hour, usually.
Yeah, yeah, they were like around a half hour, usually. Yeah.
This game's about double the length of Turtles in Time.
I'd say maybe even short.
How much are they selling this game for?
But it is still a short game, comparatively speaking, but it's... I don't know how much they're selling it for, because I got it on Game Pass.
I bought the PlayStation 4 version. I'm going to get the Switch version on physical later, when it's available. But, with the discount, I think it's like $23 or something.
Yeah, I'll wait.
It's like normally $27 or something.
I'll wait till it's like $10 or $7 and I'll get it.
Yeah, I think
they should have sold it for $20, in my opinion.
Yeah, $20 I think is a great price point for this game because it's so short. That's the only real problem with games like this. This type of beat 'em up is that it is really short, so there's limited replay value.
And I got the PS4 version because my brother is going to get whatever version I get, and I thought maybe we could play with my nephew, and he has a PS4.
Yeah,
oh, that's a good idea.
All right, guys.
He has the PS4 that my brother gave him. He gave him his old PS4 Pro.
What are you guys giving TMNT Shredders?
Well, I'm not really done with my review, all right,
go ahead,
Frank.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
There's a lot of nostalgia in this game. They've added a blending of characters, it seems, from the comic book as well as the cartoon and the movies. It looks like the original arcade games, you know, like the turtles are designed in that the same design they are in the original cartoon.
There are, like, side quests you can do that give you extra points, but, like, I kind of wish the points were used to, like, buy unlockables, like the music player, like you're suggesting, something like that.
Yeah. I maxed my points out before I even finished those quests. Mm-hmm. Like it was like yeah.
I think the points also play into like unlocking power levels for your character and stuff like that. But yeah. There's no gauge for like how many points you need to next level or whatever.
There is actually. It's in the pause menu. 2,000 is the maximum. It's like I think it's after 100 points you get something, and 200, and then like 400.
Yeah, like slight boost your HP or like
yeah. More
or,
HP,
or maybe your special moves gauge goes up by one, or like it does slightly more damage.
Hey guys,
extra lives.
Skodama says when you say the word poop, your butthole makes the same motion.
Oh yeah, that's another thing about the game. It's like you have a finite amount of lives, but they reset after each level to the max again.
Yeah, I failed on one level, and then I played it again and was able to just buzz right through it because I.
No,
I mean that's a lot of fun. It's an easy game. If you can play it on Game Pass, absolutely download it.
And I feel like the Chuck boss fight could have been designed better because every time I tried to attack it, I'd get hurt. I didn't know the best way to do it other than to use my special and just like taunt it so I could reuse my special again.
The witch fight.
Fight when you're on the skateboard thing and you have to fight the car.
Oh, the car, yeah. I took a lot of damage in that fight, too.
I wish you could, like, bat the grenades back at them, but no. I tried it.
There were some things you could bat back at them, like the guys with the plunger guns. You can snip their plungers back at them. That's pretty fun. There's just so much nostalgia in this game. Like, the first time you see the Mausers... And then,
it really does feel like a sequel to Turtles in Time, though, because like you're going to many of the same locations, but they're heavily remixed because they're taking place within New York instead of various points of the past.
Yep.
And instead of going to the prehistoric era, you're going to Dimension X, which looks like the prehistoric era. Also, that also kind of reminds me of X-Men because like the Lost World.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a good comparison. I like that. Yeah. So I absolutely recommend it if you got it on Game Pass. I don't know if I'd say go out and buy it at $27 because it, like we said, it's short essentially. But it's a fun game that you can play with your entire family.
All right, so it's what are easy. We giving? What are we giving? TMNT Shredder's Revenge.
I want to give it an 8.
All right.
I'm gonna give it the same.
Wow. Okay. So I'll have to play it and give you guys my take on it when it becomes cheap because, you know, 2-hour game, I'm not paying $27.
Yeah.
Watch this people mod the PC version to hell while you play as other characters.
Yeah, probably. Alright, I have a review. I'll do a real quick review of a movie called The Northman. I believe his name is it Alex Skarsgård? Yeah, Alex Skarsgård, the guy from True Blood.
Oh yeah, he was in Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yes, that guy.
Is this movie streaming anywhere?
It is on Peacock. So if you're interested,
I don't have it yet. I mean, I'd have to resub to it, but
it's only $5.
I'd rather just rent it from Vudu at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be obviously at Vudu on Vudu. It's on Vudu right now. It might be at the Redbox, but I mean, $5 a month, you can get it on Peacock. I mean, I figured out why I get Peacock for free. It's included with the cable package, apparently, so you know, I don't know. But, yeah, so, it's basically a standard revenge type movie, but very artsy and very good. It's the same director as the guy that did The Witch, Robert Eggers. And Robert Eggers is quickly becoming one of my favorite directors of all time. His direction style and his whoever does the cinematography for him is just out of this world great. So story-wise, it's basically follows the Conan kind of revenge plot, you know, where the evil guy kills the king, and the king's son is brought into slavery, but Viking style this time. And so the kid grows up to be this big badass and, you know, is on a revenge tour to kill the bad guy. And it's well worth the watch. Like I said, the symbolism and the direction is what you're really watching this movie for. It does get a little violent at times, which is good too, but it's not quite as violent as what people are making out to be. Standard story with really, really good direction, very good, like, kind of symbolism, and, story-wise solid. Acting was obviously great. Nicole Kidman, Willem Dafoe, Alex Skarsgård, even Bjork made an appearance in this movie, and she was fantastic. So, highly recommend this movie just for all that, and I'm also giving this movie an 8 out of 10. So, Northman, pretty good damn movie. Watch it purely for the direction. Robert Eggers is one of the great ones of our time. It's weird. We have some of the greatest directors of all time living in our era. James Wan, Guillermo del Toro, Robert Eggers, I would put up there with anybody, and a plethora of other really, really good directors. But highly recommend this movie. It's really, really, really good. So let's move on to everybody's favorite segment.
What is it?
Stinko of the Week.
Breakman, your Stinko of the Week.
Oh, well, I have a question for you, Frank. You remember that sex abuse case in the church and stuff? How long ago was that?
Not too long. What, like 3 years ago? 4 years ago, maybe?
Oh, wait, which one are we
which
on?
Which one? I mean, there's been plenty.
Oh, yeah, it's been a while. So, anyways, there's been a new report by the U.S. Southern Baptist Churches from, let me see here, 2000 to 2019, over 700... instances of sexual abuse found. And this is, I realized this is the same group that is fighting the hardest to make abortion illegal.
Yeah. Well,
so I'm thinking, like, we have the alternative reason right here as to why they are fighting so hard.
Yeah.
They're fighting so hard because more kids to rape.
So we talking about the Catholic Church or Southern Baptists?
Southern Baptists.
Because, like, how hard are Catholics fighting against it compared to them?
And probably the same level. It's probably identical. But they've, like, the Southern Baptists have, like, taken the leading charge in it. Like,
for being hypocrites?
For being what? Hypocrites? Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. But they're so anti-abortion. In the meantime, they're raping kids in their congregation still to this day, apparently. Still going on.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's not surprising, man. I mean, it's just, you know, just
it's just sick. I mean, I don't see how you can at one time, like, oh, we have to protect this little fetus, and then another time, well, we have to protect the guy who's raping that kid.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's a sick way of thinking, man. I mean, there's been, I don't know, man. There looks like there's a big lag in the feed. I've been noticing we've been dropping a lot of frames, but probably 20 minutes or so, 20, 30 minutes.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, it's
damn,
really weird.
They're way far behind. They, yeah, oh well. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
fucking internet sometimes. So anyway, you know, like the, and they didn't always used to be like that. There, I was reading like a history on them. Like they, it used to be, churches never used to be like this anti-abortion. It used to be more of a like a, you know, individual thing until about the mid 80s.
Yeah.
And it was a political thing that started it, a political issue. Anyway, of course it always does, political issues. There was, let me see, moving on to my next stinko. I think I lost that story. I'm going to skip this one for the moment and go on to the next one. There is a war apparently going on right now against drag queens.
Wow.
The right has, they've already assumed they've won the war on abortion, so now they're moving on to their next targets, which are, you know, blacks and gays, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, next it'll be Mexicans. Well, they have stuff.
They're always number one. They're right. Always up top there.
And right.
Don't kid yourself, right?
I mean, the border is always, you know, number one on their mind.
The border plays a little bit into something I was going to bitch out in my stinkos in a moment. But they have been more and more, the right has just, they're going to war on drag queens. Like, this is a new thing, like, apparently to them, they're just learning about, like, drag queens, like, reading books to kids. I remember that, like, long ago. This isn't a new thing. But suddenly they're treating this as, you know, they're indoctrinating kids. They're teaching children to be gay. She's wow. Reading a fucking book.
Right.
Are you kidding me? So you're telling me if I read, like, say, Mark Twain, for instance, he uses the N-word a lot. They're saying that if I read a Mark Twain book, I'm just going to start, like, being a racist or something?
Right.
There's no logic there at all.
Right.
It's just, let's just target them because they're dressed as women. And you know, I can also prove that this is just, you know, there's no sense.
Twain uses that word for a purpose in the books. Right, they're not there just because it was the times. They're there
to illustrate a point. Right, and I
was
trying to illustrate a point by in the same way, is saying, like, these words are in the book. You know, I'm just reading them. Just like she is just reading what's in the book. This isn't her, like, she's not out there, like, I don't know what they think she's doing. But I can also prove how hypocritical they are. In this city, we had this thing that had gone on for a long time, and it ended because of the pandemic, not because of any other pressure or anything like this. It's called the Skirt Game, Delhi Skirt Game, in the area of Delhi. A bunch of men, like, from around the community dress as women and play baseball. And this is a family fun of sport. It's a big thing, and it's heavily promoted by the same people who are on the radio right now attacking the drag queens.
Oh, they. Yeah, that's.
So, let me get this straight. One family thing is okay because they're, you know, comically dressing as women.
You know what's fun? What's funny about all this, Breakman? Scottish people have been. Like, Scottish men have been wearing skirts for centuries. And nobody ever has a problem with that, nor should they. Right? So what is the problem with men wearing dresses and wearing makeup and you know, I mean, aren't we past
look at
that?
How much of a badass Mel Gibson looked in Braveheart, for instance.
I mean, it just I don't understand it, man. It's 2022 now.
This whole indoctrination thing that the media has been preaching to their people. There was Proud Boy Oath Keepers. It was Oath Keepers that were arrested, and like 21 of them were going to heading to a pride rally with smoke grenades and shit like that. Just interrupt, you know. Just like these the drag queen I'm talking about. She was reading in a library, and these I forget who it was. Maybe it was Oath Keepers or Proud Boys. One of them. They marched in, and you know they started slinging threats at her and you know threatening the kids and the parents and stuff like that. Not the kids, but threatening the parents, and then they have the nerve when they're being like interviewed by the reporters to say, you know, there's that drag queen's in there, she's brainwashing those kids and she's scarring those kids. No, I think somebody coming in there threatening their parents is scarring their kids.
Yeah, I don't I don't know. I just think that, like, that old adage, like as long as nobody's hurting you, like, what does it matter? You know, like it just, I don't know, man. People are people, and if people want to, I mean, I'm not going to go around in a dress because I'm not, you know, gay or bisexual or anything, but just leave people alone, man.
Well, you
man.
Don't even have to be gay to wear a dress, but in chat, Skodema says, the only problem I have with it is when they're doing the drag in front of kids in bars and places like that. But isn't that the parents' decision at that point?
Well, look, you just said what is the kid
up to the parents' morality? Like, every parent has different levels of things their kids are doing. Like, for instance, some parents are okay with, like, their 7-year-old watching a horror movie, whereas others aren't okay with their 15-year-old watching a horror movie.
Right, right. I don't know, man. Like kids in bars, why are kids in bars? That should be the first question. Look, when people look, Skodema, I had a conversation. I was on a panel, and it was about porn bombing, right? And the argument was being made that that's along the same lines. That's, you know, it should be illegal because, you know, a kid could potentially watch it. It's like no. You know, I think it's immoral, and I think it's wrong to porn bomb a channel or stuff like that. And if a kid happens to see it, it's a reality. I mean, you just got to be prepared as a parent to deal
and
with this.
We're actually talking about two different things too. But I'm talking about a woman who, or a crossdresser, you know, who was reading in a library, and she was attacked.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't like she was stripping or anything like this. This wasn't a drag show. This is just a drag queen reading books to kids.
Right, right.
But as far as, like, kids in bars, like, yeah, I don't think kids should be in bars at all. But I'm not their parent, you know?
Right,
we,
right.
We empower parents to make decisions what's best for their kids, don't we?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I can understand where you're coming from, Skodema. I mean,
definitely. Because I'm with you on that. I don't want kids in bars.
Right, and I don't want kids to see highly sexual things of any nature, whether they're drag or a strip show or anything of that nature. So I understand the point, Skodema, but it's not like the drag queens are specifically inviting, you know, kids in to watch them strip. You know, I mean, it's if it's a book reading, like, why? As long as the person is nice and cordial, and, you know, I just have a problem being mean to another person based on their skin color or their sexual orientation or whatever. If you have your religious beliefs, you have your religious beliefs, and you know, this country is, you know, has made it very clear that's cool, you know, but you know. You know, as long as somebody's not purposely hurting someone else, it seems to me very basic. You know, you treat others how you want to be treated, and
let me point out something too. We've said it many times. Like, we'd rather kids be exposed to sex than to violence.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. I made that point earlier too, because it was along the same lines of the porn bombing on YouTube, right? Which, you know, most of the channels that I frequent are 18 and up, including mine. I've made it very clear there could be adult content on there. And, you know, with panels, you always have to be worried about some asshole doing a porn bomb if you have a panel, right?
Yeah.
So, Road Dogs, what's up, man? Nice to have you in there. But still, like, you wouldn't, like, go on a European vacation and, like cover your... If you covered your kid's eyes because a statue had you know, naked breast, or a penis, or something.
Little tiny penis of those Greek statues, like, right?
Right,
stuff.
Like or
really tiny penis.
I mean, I just think that if you have to cover your kid's eyes to that stuff, then that says more about you than anybody else. You know, that's what I'm saying. I've got no problem.
I have a problem with what Skodema's saying here. It's like, children that can't make their own choices. You mean children that are too young to make a choice? Like, what if they're like 10 or something? Like, they're old enough to make their own choices.
No, I see his point. Whether
or not the choices are informed or is a different matter entirely.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
it's
incumbent on the parents to teach them how to think freely for themselves.
Yeah, I think that's what Skodema is actually getting at, Eric. Like he just has a problem with the impressionable, because each kid is different, right? Like, yeah, when I was a kid, like what you said, Breakman, I was 5 years old watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre and anything else I could get my hands on, because I loved it.
I couldn't watch any horror movies until I hit puberty, and then it's like, oh, there are boobs in these movies. I can watch this.
There's definitely something wrong with that, Skodema, but that's adults taking...
Bars, okay.
Yeah.
But, book readings? I mean, it's a person. They're...
there. Road Dog, how dare you, son of a bitch. How dare you, you son of a bitch. Exile. Road Dog gets an exile.
I feel like the people that have most problem with this are the people who don't want to explain topics to their kids because they themselves don't understand it very well.
Well, that's a possibility.
They refuse to understand it.
But I don't think a kid at that age, like a toddler age, should be exposed to a lot of things, Eric. There is time to...
There are a lot of parents that take their kids to things that I definitely don't think age or appropriate at all.
Right,
but
right.
There's... Like, I don't think parents should take children to movie theater because they'll cry invariably at some point and you can't stop them.
See, that's... There you go. That's... I mean, see, now we're on to it. That's a good point. But we have to move on here. Break, any other stinkos that you got?
Stop taking your kids to the movie theater.
Right. Hey, well, I mean, there's other reasons, like being dangerous to go to a movie theater because it might get shot up or something. But all right,
like remember what happened a few years ago, Frank?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was almost there.
Yeah, I was almost at the Aurora Shooting Theater. I was gonna see Batman at that exact theater, and luckily they sold out, and I went to a different theater same day. But
wasn't it like The Dark Knight Returns or something?
Yeah, it was The Dark Knight Returns, and...
Oh, no, wait, no, the Dark Knight, just The Dark Knight.
Was it The Dark Knight? I thought it was Dark Knight
Returns. It was Dark Knight Rises.
Rises.
Right? Rises or something, yeah. Yeah. So anyways, we gotta move on. Breakman, anything else?
Just the gun violence in this country that our government is pretending like they're doing something about.
You know. Oh, with the stupid shit that's going on in Congress right now. Yeah.
Like, all right. They're pretending they're going to do things like, oh, we're going to worry about domestic violence. Nuh-uh. No, we're not. No, we're negotiating. Yeah. Look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do all this stuff. We're going to worry about mental health now. Oh, this is going into law. Oh, no, we got to negotiate it.
Biden's going about an executive order about protecting LGBTQ, and I don't know how actually that's going to work out.
Executive orders mean nothing, man. I mean, how about just an order to protect people in general? You know, that's what I'm for.
Executive orders are as good as the paper they're written on, because right, they only last as long as the president lasts,
right. Okay, let's move on here. I got a real quick one, and then we'll get to yours, Eric, if you can do it real quick. Mine is Vince
McMahon. I mean, if he's going to do that, he might as well do executive order on, you know, SCOTUS just ruling on abortion.
Oh, God, yeah, whatever. Yeah,
and he could. I mean, there are definitely things he could do, like, in... We antagonize them and shit, but, you know.
I'm more interested in the shit going on with Justice Thomas's wife than anything, man. Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
She's not the only crook in Washington. Like, she's not even...
I need to get...
They're all so corrupt there that nobody gets punished.
Everybody's corrupt in Washington. No doubt. Everybody. Democrats, Republicans, doesn't matter. Libertarians.
So fucking bad. And there's no one to hold them accountable, literally.
Nope. Everybody's getting away with everything. I mean, Hunter Biden isn't a saint. Joe Biden's definitely not a saint. Trump wasn't a saint. You know, I mean, McConnell's a fucking... turd burglar. I mean, they're just...
What's going on with McConnell right now is one of my favorite things that's going on in Washington, though, is McConnell has been like the... Let's be honest. McConnell has done more for the conservatives and Republicans than anybody.
I agree.
Like,
I agree.
They want to give... They're giving Trump all the credit for everything Mitch McConnell did.
Yeah. McConnell might as well have been the president during that run.
Yeah.
Right. Right, and but the MAGA crowd is calling him nothing but a rhino. Like, they're trashing him left and right. It's just hilarious. Like, he's the guy who gave you assholes everything you wanted.
You know, it would be ironic if the MAGA crowd is going to be responsible for Mitch McConnell's downfall. Man, that would be pretty ironic. All right, let's.
Who's going to be responsible for Pelosi's downfall? Because I want to give them a handshake.
Oh, God. Me too, man. Me too. Me too. My stinko goes to Vince McMahon. You know, he's dirty, and we all knew that. But $3 million NDA, but there's probably 20 to 30 more NDAs that they know of, and it's not looking good for him, and I hope he gets booted out. And I actually hope his whole family gets booted out of the business. Cause
I was wondering what's been going on. I was going to ask you before this happened, like, what was going on with Stephanie McMahon? Did he fire his own daughter?
No, she went away for a little bit to spend time with her family, right? She's married to Triple H and has kids and stuff, and she wanted to just step away, but since all this Vince McMahon stuff came about, he stepped down and they appointed Stephanie as new CEO and chairman. Okay. So
I saw she came back, but like there were rumors that she'd gotten fired, and I was like, "What?
No.
Okay, she just went on vacation.
Yeah, yeah, she just went on
into a rumor that she was fired.
Right, right. Great. So, but you know what? There's precedence for this. Vince McMahon with the steroid scandal kind of stepped away as well, and he gave his the CEO-dom to Linda McMahon. I don't know if you guys remember that. But then, of course, he came right back as soon as all that those investigations were done. So I see this, something that similar. He's going to try to come back, and I just wish he would just be out of the company. He's terrible. I mean, Sasha Banks.
He's one of those people that I've never really heard anybody saying anything great about.
Yeah, yeah, he's just not a good person at all.
And there's a lot of, like, wrestling interviews, and they'll always talk about, like, how good people are, like, you know. But Vince McMahon's never really, like, talked about.
Weiland says, you can hope in one hand and poop in another and see what fills up first. Yeah, exactly. Skodma says, even watching wrestling, haven't watched wrestling since they changed it today. Don't bother, Skodama. Watch AEW if you ever want to get back into wrestling. It's much better. It's way better, in my opinion.
I stayed long enough to see the only thing that I really wanted, which was Jericho have the world title, and then I was gone.
Would be interested in AEW because Jericho's a very prominent person.
He's already done that and stuff. I'm not in wrestling anymore because it's too much of a commitment.
It is. It's kind of. I love it though, man. I mean, I really like it. It's on TBS.
Kind of like comic books.
It is. It's what I equate it to. It's like it's basically a soap opera for men. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly what it was.
With shitty acting, way shittier acting, and some athletic ability for sure. So you know that's what it is. So, but I really like AEW, man. It's really really good, super good. It's like it reminds me of WWF times 10 back in the day. You know, like Attitude Era without quite as much sex, you know, but still really good, man. Really, really
speaking
good.
Speaking of Jericho and Vince McMahon, I've heard like that was why Jericho left, is Vince McMahon was talking crap about him.
Oh, there's, apparently. Dude, a lot of people have left because of Vince McMahon.
Yeah, like I'm saying, every time I hear interviews, I never hear anybody saying anything good about him.
Well, while they're in the company, they rave.
Or there's a complaint.
Yeah, while they're in the company, they rave, and when they're away, like right now they have Sasha Banks, which hold on a second, my screen is going wacky here. Who's the biggest, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, women's wrestler, and Vince has treated her like shit almost her entire run, and I'm hoping that they let her go so she can go to AEW and shine, but that's more for another day. Weiland says, I don't watch AEW, but I like Danhausen. Danhausen is a treat, man. He's so fun. I mean, he's not really much of a wrestler, but I mean, he just brings a lot of just fun to the table. I love Danhausen. AEW is really good. I like
it. When you say fun, do you mean like with the microphone or do you mean with antics?
All of the above, man. It's got antics. Danhausen is a perfect example of antics. Like he curses people and, you know, it's just bullshit, right? It's all BS, but...
Yeah, that reminds me, like, back in the 90s, like, guys like Spike Dudley.
Yeah.
Like, why the hell was that guy in the ring, you know?
Yeah. Dude,
He weighed, like, what, 50 pounds? And was
they used to have a guy, you know, like, he's no longer with AEW, but they had a guy named Marco Stunt. He looked, like, literally like a 10-year-old, man. Like he was small and, I don't know, man. But dude, it's really good. It's really, really good. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get sucked in, AEW, man, I mean, it's... It's fucking fantastic, man. I love it. All right, Eric, real quickly, your stinko of the week. I know this is a big subject, but let's get through it as quickly as we can.
Oh, geez, thanks.
Sorry, that's my fault.
I'll shorten the sweetos this week just for you, man.
Anyways, I have to work overtime tomorrow because, of course.
Oh God, yeah.
Because the machines always are. Failing, that means they're behind, so I have to help them because the new machine isn't up yet, even if it wasn't and it was ready, I might still have to because I still have to get rid of their stuff, but because I haven't trained them yet, because like if they had trained them then they wouldn't need to call me in, but like it's going to be the same situation again where me and like two other people are going to know how to use this new machine. So I've ever asked about that. Like, are you going to train more people on this? For now, I guess it's just going to be me. But the other one is Activision Blizzard's results of their internal investigation. Activision shows that they did no wrongdoing. So they basically recused themselves like Trump did.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, we saw this. Basically, they... They didn't recuse themselves, Eric. What they did is they internally kind of...
What problem?
Exonerated themselves.
Exonerated themselves.
That's what I thought you meant.
Yeah, they
didn't do anything. We looked and we checked. We're innocent.
Well, it's like...
good here.
You guys remember when I told you I filed a grievance against the Aurora Police Department? Mm-hmm. You know what happened? They investigated themselves, and can you guys... guess as to what happened with the investigation, if they found anything wrong or not?
Well, I'm guessing they reviewed the video several times and they got forensics involved.
Right.
You know, and they had a lab expert do all the video frame by frame action that he needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And after extensive research, they proved you're a liar, Frank.
Well, pretty much, in a nutshell. So
according to them, everything they've said, yeah, you're a liar.
Well, yeah. No, they didn't say I was a liar, because then that would begin getting into slander territory, which I would have loved.
Essentially, they want to, is what they
said. Right. So what they said is, we found no wrongdoing, no laws broken. And I'm like... It's fucking clear as day. The Colorado statute says you can't shine a light in a camera, and they did it, and they followed us with the damn light, and I got video evidence, like, left and right. So I'm going to go to court on it. So, you know, that's just how it is. I mean, you have to go to court to prove them wrong, you know. Wyland says, his sweeto, the food we got during the jury duty and watching the train wreck that was the trial. Is it over, Wyland? Can you talk about it? That'd be cool. Alright, so yeah.
I've twice and I've never sat for a trial.
Oh God.
It was essentially just going down there, sitting, waiting, and then eventually going home.
I did. It was...
It does say at the end of this, though, that the original DFEH lawsuit against Activision Blizzard is still ongoing, as well as one being launched by Securities Exchange Commission.
Well, good.
So who knows what will happen with those?
Yeah. All right,
those are actually real investigations. So,
yeah. You know, anything else on that, Eric?
No, other than Activision being poopy.
All right. Speaking of sweetos.
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet! Sweet of the week!
All right, Eric, I didn't see you had a Suido this week, so Breakman, what is your Suido?
Mine just goes to Game Pass. Like, I was looking forward to TMNT Starter's Revenge was one of the only games I was looking forward to. Having that, like, that, and then, like, the... I love compilations, too, so, like, the Pac-Man, even though it's not most of them aren't very good, there's still some good ones in there.
Yeah. Road Dog just, says...
stuff like that's free
on Game Pass. Hold on, guys. Road Dog said, 3 days for KDOT, my friend KDOT, DJ KDOT, the party was, his trial was 3 days sitting and waiting, which I did, I covered that trial, and it was just a lot of sitting and waiting. Domestic battery case, 2 counts of domestic battery, 1 count of strangulation, and 1 count of criminal confinement. What was the verdict, Weiland, if you don't mind me asking? It's public record, so, you know, you're
the
not.
The last jury duty I did, I only was there as an alternate, and it was for possession and sale of specifically amphetamines.
So. Ooh, I would have been not guilty. No, just kidding. Not guilty on all counts, Weiland. Wow, that's unusual. Okay, cool.
But then the judge found him guilty anyway.
Yeah.
But if I had actually been a part of the actual jury, I would have tried to convince them, yes, he probably did it, but... based on the evidence we've shown, there's no reason to believe that he did, because it could have very well been a case of him being stupid enough to invite his pot and meth smoking friend to actually do that while he wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. All right.
You just say the cops planted it.
Right, exactly. I believe the cops planted it.
And what's worse is the only reason he was brought in because of this is because... they were there looking for something else. They basically fished him.
Prosecution's case went up in flames, Weiland said.
It's like, yeah. they're over there for like some other reason, and then they smelled the amphetamines.
All right. Break, did you say you're Suido? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine, real quickly, Avalanche won the first game of the Stanley Cup, so only 3 more to go. And another championship resides right here in Colorado. You know, Denver University won the hockey championship, so this would be pretty cool. This would be one of the few times ever that college and pros, you know, went the way of the hometown. So that's really, really, really awesome. Cool. Yeah. So 3 more to go. That's what I'm hoping. So today, actually, they're playing right now. I don't even know the score. I should probably look that up. But... let's move on to...
He is the one thing, like, you can't... You have to be there. You can't watch it on TV. It just... I don't know. Like, they just can't capture it right on television.
They were... You know what? For hockey, they did something really cool that helped out a lot. They did this little highlight of the puck thing that was so awesome. And they took it away, and I'm like, that was helping me... follow the sport, like, on TV, yeah, you know?
That's what it is. It's really hard for the cameraman to follow the puck, I think.
Yeah, and they would do this highlight thing, and it was so awesome, and then it just went away. I don't know. Because the traditionalists were like, this isn't hockey, you know? I'm like, fuck off, man. I mean, that brings new people into the mix, you know? So, yeah. I don't know. I've never seen a prosecutor...
NFL changes the rules every year, no matter... People get pissed, but they still come back and watch it.
I know. I've never seen a prosecutor silently melt down before. It was marvelous. That's cool, Weiland. I love stuff like that. All right, let's move on to the free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all!
All right, so today's free-for-all is kind of it's going to be a quick hitter, actually. It's talking about digital currency, or not digital currency, current currency, like money currency, like paper currency. How long is it before we see the end of paper money as we know it, and coins and all that shit? Because increasingly, guys, how many times do you guys use cash, honestly? When's the last time you used cash, Breakman?
I only use cash to go to... mainly just to go to the laundromat.
Right. But that's changing, too, with credit cards, right? A lot of laundromats.
Not in these old places like I'm going to.
No, I know, but it'll change.
They're gonna be forced to change at some point.
Right. So, you know, what... like, how often do you use cash, Breakman?
Not to poop on your argument, but I used cash yesterday, actually.
Well, okay, but is it...
but is, most of the time, I don't. Most of the time, it's credit card.
Right, right. So, I'm just thinking to myself, like, it's probably less than 20 years, and I don't think we're going to be using cash almost at all. Like,
hell,
at all.
If the government had an excuse to not use cash, they'd probably go for it.
Yeah.
The thing is, like... we were heading that way. Like, I know Obama was really in favor of that. Like, he wanted to get rid of cash.
Yeah.
But the Republican Party is going backwards. Like, they're doing everything they can to fight against change. Unless it's, you know, the want change that they want. In other words, eliminating human rights. But that's another
story. I know. But I'm just... and I can't... like, the second part to that is... once we get rid of cash, like, yeah. Doesn't that start to take power away from, like, billionaires and millionaires? Like,
and that's another reason. And that probably right there is the main reason I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. Yeah. Even though there are definitely people that want it to go away and it should be heading out.
Yeah. So, Weiland says the second day the defendant had a video he recorded of the day of the fight. It matched what he testified and matched what the key witness said when they recanted. Wow. So
I would have been on witness stand. That's not how I remember it. This video is fake. This doctored.
Right. Right. So you guys, what do you guys think? Less than 20 years and no more paper money, or do you think?
I think a little bit more than 20.
You actually. Think more than 20? What about you, Brake?
You have to think about also, like, the poor communities and stuff like that. Like, there are places in this, you know, in this country still don't have, like, access to internet, for instance.
Right, but everybody has access to credit cards.
I'm just saying, like, I get your point, but I'm just saying, like, the way this kind of backwards this country is at some points. Like, I don't know. I just, we should be moving away towards, like, paper money.
Yeah,
There's no reason for us to kill trees anymore, so we can spend, right?
Well, and another thing is like coins. I've talked about this subject before, like pennies in particular, and yeah. All the way up to nickels, and even quarters. Like yep. It costs more to make those pennies than it does for us to use them. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
saying it's like. A billionaire picking up a penny, he just lost, like, thousands of dollars by picking up that penny. You know, it's like, it's not worth his time to even pick up a penny. Like, what are we even doing with fucking coins anymore? Like, everything should be dollar-based, you know? Get rid of the coins. It's sort of like, I kind of equate it to what Mexico did, right? Their currency was in a lot of trouble, and so they just dropped a lot of zeros. They were like, you know, we got to do something here. So they just, instead of something cost 40,000 pesos, now it costs like 2,000. You know, it's like, it's not rocket science. Like, it's going away. Like, the way, like, everything is going to be phone-based or credit card-based. I mean, just the other day, the weirdest thing, Breakman, I got a new credit card, right? And I don't use it hardly ever, just, you know, I was using it to build up Bernie's credit and stuff like that. We use it for gas. That's what we use it for, right? It's a rewards card. You get money back as long as you're paying your bills on time, whatever. And this credit card is one of the most amazing things. I tapped it for the first time ever. I tapped it on the gas reader and it read it and it was like magic. And it's done. You know, I didn't have to insert anything. I didn't have to wait for a chip. Nothing. I tapped it. It showed that it read it, and I got my gas. You know what I mean? It's like it's almost over. Money is almost over. Now you can take your phones. You can tap your phones on readers. If you have like Apple Pay or Google Pay or whatever fucking pay, like it's almost like money is non-existent for me anymore. There's nothing. Nothing I need money for. I mean, I still think it's stupid I have to pay my child support with a check. You know what I mean? Like, I send a check every month. It's like, this is weird, you know? But like, yeah. Money? Like, very rarely do I ever have a need to pay in cash. You know, it's like stupidly weird. I don't know. It's still important to carry around cash. For what? For what, Scotomer? What is one thing that it's important to carry around cash for? Cash is not even supported by gold or anything. It's like, it's a made-up construct, right? It's not, it used to be backed by gold, and now it's, what is it backed up by? By imagination, you know? It's like...
Well, essentially, things like payphones and vending machines and stuff like that, we needed cash.
Right. Right.
There aren't any payphones anymore, and vending machines all use credit cards.
Right, so I just...
For what? There isn't anything I can think of that... There's plenty of taco shops and other businesses that only got it, and not around here.
Why has it
got
to be taco shops?
they do exist, but which is why it won't go.
Yeah, there are a few people... I'm not saying it's like...
I didn't know about any of that, sorry.
It's not like the end of cash. That's not what I'm saying, but it's... if you don't, if these
and a lot of these local places now offer just like they have them an adapter that they stick into their like tablet, and then you can just slide your card in that way.
Yeah, there's, I mean, a lot of these places, like even now, like you could take your phone, whether it's an iPhone or a Google phone or whatever, and put an attachment to read cards. So a lot of these businesses are doing that too. They're like these small businesses. They're taking like this thing you can plug in your phone to take credit card payments, and it keeps everything, you know, all in one place. Or
now you could just use your QR code, so you don't even need the
QR code. Same thing. Like it's becoming increasingly, you know, increasingly hard to find places that even accept cash anymore. Man, it's really weird. I mean,
or you could pay online before you even get there. You know?
I just, in my life, like for what I do and everything that I purchase, like, Square. Yeah, Square. Right, yeah. Road Dog. But like for what I do, like there's very, very rare an occasion where I need cash. Like I'm going to Vegas in September, and obviously I need cash for like tips. Like, that's the one thing that you really do need cash for, but once that's figured out, like once I can just tap somebody's, like, fucking reader or something to give them a dollar or two, five, whatever, tip, like...
You can put that on a credit card, though.
Well, no, like
yeah,
valet...
I mean, the only
tips I can think of that you wouldn't be able to put on a valet. Credit card once you're putting a stripper's G-string.
Yeah. Well, that and like valet, like if you're in Vegas and somebody takes your car, like you know, you want to tip the valet person, how are you going to tip them? So cash, right? But that, like, okay. That's what I'm saying. It's like increasingly rare. Like pretty soon those valet guys are going to show up with, you know, like Square readers, and you just tap and here's $5 or here's a couple bucks or whatever you want to, you know. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
or, you know, you can always like have direct access to their Venmo and PayPal and just, you know.
Yeah, just, or you know, they'll have a little QR code to their PayPal or their Venmo or whatever, and then you just, you know, you put in an amount, and there you go. Here you go. Here's your tip, you know. It's like, I don't know. It's just, to me, it seems like less than 20 years. I think we're looking at more like 10 years, and it's going to be over for cash. I mean, there's going to be no reason for it.
So I think as the infrastructure improves, like whenever it improves, it'll become increasingly rarer for stuff like this to need cash.
I agree. I totally agree.
Those taco shops will eventually get Square readers themselves or
something. Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, I think that's going to do it for us this week. We got to go because, you know what, there's an Avalanche game going on, and we got to eat and all that kind of fun stuff. So let's do our plugs and get right on out of here. Yeah, see, Road Dogs uses Square Reader to take cards. Exactly. It's pretty easy, you know.
So. I asked in chat if anybody ever wanted to put on a red jacket and, you know, go to a valet and steal cars. It's just me? No.
Just you. Just you. Yeah, exactly. I mean, no. I mean, well, you know, the reason to be a valet is twofold. Brakeman, first, you get to drive a lot of sweet rides, right?
Yeah.
And second, the hot chicks that go through there. You know, I mean, it's a double bonus when you get a hot chick that rolls up in like a... I don't know, Maserati or Lamborghini or something. You know, it's like pretty cool.
Did somebody just fart?
Oh shit! Is that tomorrow, Road Dog? Damn it! If it's tomorrow, Well, still, everybody's hungry. So yeah. Quit ruining my parade, Road Dog. How dare you? It is tomorrow. I forgot. They did a 2-day delay instead of a 1-day this time. I hate that. Mm. 2 days in between games. It's
stupid. Are they switching cities?
No. No. Same city.
Okay. Why a 2-day delay then?
Probably because they wanted on a Saturday more eyeballs, you know. That.
Oh, okay. It's never about the players. It had to be about money and stuff.
Right, of course. All right.
Just to prove like that it's not about the players. The NFL wouldn't have Thursday night games if it was about the players.
Right, exactly. All right, Breakman.
Scudamo makes a good point, though. Like, that's like the only real con. Like, cash is untraceable.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too.
Oh, so you're saying this is good for buying drugs. Okay, I got it.
It's the reason why a lot of the weed shops can't use cash here in Denver. It's still federally not legal, so they don't even let them deal with cash. You know, or it's cash only, not credit card based. Yeah, that's a great point, Scotoma, for sure. All right, we got to go. We got to get out of here. Break in.
Okay, I see why. Bernie's hungry. That's why we need
Bernie to- is hungry. She's looking at me like, you better get off this fucking show right now. Whew. Okay. Breakman, plugs, please.
Sorry, Sonic.
Of course. Oh, you're doing like a... You were doing like a Close Encounters of a Third Kind thing there. I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you got? Breakman, plugs, please.
You can follow me at RP Grinders on Twitter, and not ever Breakman again because I'm permanently suspended.
Is it permanently done?
Oh yeah, it's
done. Damn it! Well, you should do like
Breakman 2 or something. This is totally not Breakman.
Right, not Breakman is what you should do. All right,
podcaster not formally known as Breakman.
Exactly.
Twitter.
All right, Eric, your plugs, please.
I have written reviews on BostonBassBrigade.com, or you can go to listen to my audio reviews on the feed. I've got nothing this week, but maybe that'll change tomorrow when I'm feeling better about myself.
Yeah.
Because I'll be rid of work.
Yeah, exactly, man. All right, anything else?
Like one day, yay.
I know. Anything else, Eric?
And my legs will probably feel better. So, but like, if you like those audio reviews and you want to support me by sending me as little as a dollar or whatever you want to one time per month or whatever, you can go to my Patreon, which is in my Twitter profile, which is at EricRPG.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches, which I'm hardly ever on there, but if you do reply to me, I'll reply back to you. You can find me on any of the systems RP Grinders, whether it be Xbox, PlayStation, Switch, all that stuff. I will be getting a new Xbox fairly soon. Maybe when I get back from Vegas, I'll have to see. But what else? Watch The Northman. It's pretty damn good. The visuals are stunning. Decent story. If you like just a basic revenge movie, then you'll like it. You know, it's got a little bit of flair to it. So, all right. Anything else, gentlemen?
Good night.
Good night and good luck. All right. Stay safe this weekend, everybody. We want to see you back here next.
Happy Father's Day for Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Oh, that reminds me. Happy birthday, Frank.
Next, it's the 26th, but thank you very much. I
know it's next week, but it'll be before our next show, so.
Yeah. Right.
I think it's before our next show.
No, we get one more week before.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get one more.
Do.
Yeah. Yeah, you could say that next week, man. All right. I tend to forget birthdays. I've had too many of them, man. You know what I'm saying?
He's so old.
Yeah.
He's exactly. Over 100,000 years old.
Yeah, exactly. All right, everybody, stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next.
I wanted to ask you about something, Frank. I was reading some a theory that they had about the Ice Age was disproven. I was wondering what your answers are on that.
You're exiled, you son of a bitch. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we're out of here. Later, everybody.
It was the one time assumed that the equator was still warm.
Oh, God. I'm walking off this show. Walking off.
Now, after research, they're saying that now there was no.
walking off this show, Breakman. Son of a bitch. Hey, exiled.
Frank, is Dinotopia real?
Exiled, Eric. Son of a bitch.
How
dare you? Guys are sons of bitches. I'm walking off. Become a security guard or something.